Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back at 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And this week's article is all about balance. It's called A Balancing Act. And thank you for all of you who've been sending me nice notes about how much that piece meant to you. I appreciate it. And if you get a chance to subscribe, folks, it's free. It comes every week by email, and I think you'll like it. If you don't, tell us you want us to. In fact, you can do it yourself now. We have the ability for you to take yourself off, literally take yourself off of our list, and which we do. And of course, as you know, we have an absolute strict policy. Strict, it doesn't even quite go far enough in the way we have we feel about our privacy policy. Whatever you give us stays with us, and we don't sell it or loan it to anybody. Steve Bianco is our guest, and our good friend Steve is vice president of the Association for Competitive Technology, which is an organization that you know that I support quite a bit. And Steve is here to talk to us about how the technology industry did this year with regard to public policy. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. Thanks for having me back on. And I know that there's not enough time to cover everything that happened in Washington that affects tech, so maybe just two issues, the spam bill that takes effect 2 weeks, and yeah. The internet access taxes that are threatening on the horizon.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's talk about the tax. Let's talk about the, go ahead and talk about the spam first.
Sure. And you mentioned just before that anyone who's figured they don't want to receive a newsletter from Small Business Advocate can unsubscribe, take themselves off the list. And that's something that you've always given voluntarily, although I don't know why anybody would ever unsubscribe to your newsletter. It's a great newsletter.
Well, there's no accounting for taste, Steve. You know that.
There it is. And I have to tell you, though, that January 1st, a new law takes effect that'll make that a requirement. In other words, any unsolicited commercial email that ever arrives has to have an unsubscribe option in it. And while most folks who want to respect their readers have always offered an unsubscribe, it now becomes the law. And that enables law enforcement officials to go after people who don't put an unsubscribe in or whose unsubscribe is really a veiled attempt to learn about email addresses that are valid.
Tell us about how that works. Tell us about how people can do that, what you just said about the veiled attempt to find out who's out there.
If you hit an unsubscribe on something that comes from a serious spammer, someone whose intent is to gather email addresses that they can then sell to others, that unsubscribe was often just an attempt to validate that you do, in fact, read your mail at this email address.
If
you took the trouble to unsubscribe.
These are people who buy lists of thousands and millions, maybe. They've got the capability to go out and just find an email or presume an email, and they send them out, and they don't know whether anybody's there or not. And if you unsubscribe, and we've known this a long time, Steve, you and I've been talking about this a long time. If you unsubscribe thinking you're doing the right thing, that lets them know that you're there. And of course, they're being the disreputable low-lifes that they are, they won't take you off their list. They'll just keep sending you stuff.
Yes, and I think you've seized upon the idea that the whole spam industry is an ecosystem, not much different than the direct mail that has been flooding our mailboxes for years, or telemarketing. A lot of it is list brokers who come up with valid email addresses, phone numbers, or addresses, and then rent them mm-hmm. to folks who are trying to sell something to you. Now, it's always been illegal for somebody to do an unsubscribe and secretly try to gather email addresses. The new law, called the Can Spam Law, just puts a finer point and focuses a lot more law enforcement attention on it. It's called Can Spam. Believe it or not, Jim, that's another clever congressional acronym. Actually, Can Spam stands for Controlling the Assault of Non-Solicited Pornography and Marketing. And it takes effect on January 1st.
How much tax dollars it costs us for somebody to come up with that?
You just can't put it past them. No. Listen, I said the first thing was that any unsolicited commercial email has to have an unsubscribe. That's great. Second provision is that any sexually explicit email that comes to you unsolicited has to be labeled. And the FTC will come up, the Federal Trade Commission will come up with a labeling syntax, mm-hmm. something like porn or adult, mm-hmm. and that'll enable you and your email product to set a filter so right. that if a label contained the word adult, you could decide to delete it or route it to a particular folder.
Right.
Giving you the choice, giving you the control. Mm-hmm. Bad news, of course, will the bad guys, will the real porn spammers really follow the law?
Yeah. Well, and because many of them, folks, are hiding in little spider holes. I prefer to call them rat holes, and they're down there in their little rat holes with all the other insects sending out this stuff, so they don't care about the law. 20 Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. And when we come back, I'll tell you what I really think about spammers right after these messages.
You thought they were all kidding you.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking with Steve Del Bianco, our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Vice President of the Association for Competitive Technology. Steve, give us your website, please.
Sure, Jim. It's www.actonline.org, actonline.org.
And tell us what we'll find when we get there.
We're a trade association that represents the interests of small tech companies and tech consumers. So what you'll find are news items about how Washington and even state governments are affecting the tech industry.
And folks, if you're thinking, wait a minute now, I buy computers from big companies and I buy software from these big companies, and why do I care about the tech industry? Well, let me tell you something, folks. You can't look around your office without seeing something that was made by, if you use any technology at all, that was made by or influenced by or maybe originated by a small tech company. And don't forget, 55% of all innovations in America are created by small companies. Many of those are small technology companies. We need these little companies. Some of you are part of this group we're talking about. If you're not part of the group, you are benefiting from that group. And so what Steve's work, he and Jonathan Zook and the others at ACT, what they do is very important work. And Steve, I congratulate you for what you do.
Thanks, Jim. And you've always been a big help to us. I appreciate that.
I'm glad to do it. Okay, before we go any further on this spam thing, Steve, I want to define people who send things out in the mail. I'm going to put them in three categories. We probably could break it down more, but for time's sake, I'm going to talk about three people. The first group are called the opt-in permission-based email marketers. I am one of those. You get an email from me, you get my newsletter from me, if you say, Jim, please send me your newsletter. That's what you have to do. And so we send it to you. That's one. Then two are the people who buy lists and send you a query, send you an email saying, would you like to do business with me? Because they know you exist. But if you tell them that you want off of, now you didn't necessarily give them permission to send you anything directly. You may have indirectly, but not directly. If that's the case, then you can tell them you want off your list, and they will take you off because they're reputable email marketers. Then the third group are the spammers. And even though you may consider the second group spammers, they will take you off your list, their list, if you tell them. The third group doesn't care, and they're the guys who send you things that have lost leaders in the subject line, and they're the guys who send you pornography, et cetera, et cetera. So I break them down, Steve, into three groups. What do you think?
The first group, I couldn't agree more, that characterizes exactly the way you operate your site in the same way most reputable folks who run portals and newsletters do. But the second and third categories are merged in this thing called the spam ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And I really want you to understand that the mortgage or the discount pharmacy offers that you get, they're often coming from people who don't buy the list at all. They rent mm-hmm. the names from a list broker. The list brokers often go out and steal the names from websites all over the world. They look for the at symbol on a website.
Right.
They find one. They know that's probably an email address, and they steal it. They put it in a list, and then they rent those lists to people trying to sell stuff. So when you opt out from that particular mortgage broker, you really don't pull yourself off of the list that they rented. So if you catch my drift, the list brokers themselves feed the industry of those who sell things. Mm-hmm. So opting out doesn't actually get you off the list at all.
Well, the
all
thing...
you've done is taken.
Go ahead.
All you've done is taken yourself off of a list so that particular vendor can't send you any email anymore. But right. The list that he rented your name from still has you in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me that this spam issue, Steve, is one that is going to hurt some people who operate with email marketing, even though they, you know, I mean, I prefer to do business with people who, with opt-in marketers, opt-in list managers like myself who only do business with people who say they want to get my stuff. But there are people out there, I mean, you get email from people you didn't, I mean, you get regular mail from people that you didn't send anything to, and you don't want to have them arrested. So, but the difference is the cost. You can proliferate email and create problems for people by sending them too much email with virtually no cost. I mean, the cost is so low, it's unbelievable per mail, per email, isn't it, Steve?
It is, and that means that a very, very low percentage of the people receiving those emails will justify the effort it takes to send them. And the percentages are somewhere between 1% and 2% of people are replying.
Mm-hmm.
These unsolicited emails about mortgages, about Viagra, or any other of those crazy emails that we get every day in our inbox.
What about, what's going to be the effect of this law?
There will be no effect of any law unless you can scare the bad guys into paying attention.
Mm.
And the good news is that law enforcement officials have got the message that people are sick of getting spam, not being able to unsubscribe. And the internet service providers are fed up with getting half a billion emails a night that have to be suppressed, and they have to spend money on rerouting them and filtering them out. So
in the process, Steve, of which good email gets trashed sometimes.
It does. And last Thursday, I think the first shot across the bow was fired. In North Carolina, Virginia and North Carolina cooperated to arrest Jim Janes, a 29-year-old guy who's number 8 on the list of top 10 spammers around the world.
On the 52,
carried the guy out in handcuffs.
On the deck of spam cards, right?
Number 8. That's right.
He's the ace of hearts or something like that. Steve, hold on to that thought. We're gonna wrap that part up and then come back and talk about some of the other issues that the technology industry has benefited from in the last year with regard to public policy. It's Tim Tales. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. Steve Del Bianco is our guest and our good friend, Vice President of Association for Competitive Technology and also NetChoice, right, Steve?
That's right. And NetChoice is a coalition promoting e-commerce and trying to break down barriers that get in the way of e-commerce.
Steve, and give us that website, Steve, by the way.
That's www.netchoice.org.
By the way, is privacypower.org still up? Is that what is it? What's the website?
It was Net Privacy Power, and it was a set of sort of consumer self-help tips on how to protect your privacy when doing business online. And while it's up, the content is, I have to apologize, quite old. And
but
today,
still,
I think that most folks really get it now about how to protect their privacy by being careful about where they reveal their personal information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's wrap up the very last points on the spam law, Steve, and let's move on to the other topic.
The only way spam laws will be effective is if bad guys, folks that break the laws we already have, are made to pay. And carrying number 8 out in a set of handcuffs last Thursday is exactly what we need. A couple of more instances like that will show folks that are serious spammers that it just isn't worth it because of the risk of getting caught and winding up with a criminal violation.
Well, and also, folks, I'd like to encourage anybody listening to remember that there are some very easy ways of avoiding becoming a spammer. And getting on the wrong side, even if you're not arrested, to prevent you from being sued, because you could be sued under this new canned spam law by the recipient of an email that you sent. And that's quite
simply... Which isn't the case. The federal law does not allow any private right of action by individuals. Only the state can sue you and only the ISPs can sue you on the damages they've incurred at trying to filter you out.
But you could be sued, though, and I agree with you. But still, you do have some jeopardy there. But all you got to do is just send things to people who have given you permission to do that. And then when they ask to be taken off, take them off.
That'll be enough.
If your intention is to operate within the proper email marketing protocols that most of us, that regular business people work under, if you follow those simple rules, you'll be okay.
So, there's a few other technical rules, Jim, that are worth anybody who is sending unsolicited commercial email should check out the Senate Bill 877 and read the requirements, because there are a few other technical requirements about providing a physical address in the body of the email and the way in which you label the email, and being very careful to use an appropriate address in the from line.
And by the way, Steve, we have conducted a show within the last 2 weeks on the specific steps that you can go through to make sure that you stay on the right side of this law. Let's move on to the next topic.
Jim, in the time remaining, I thought I would just give you guys an update on the Internet Access Tax moratorium. A lot of people confuse this issue, but back in 1997, Congress said, let's not let the states, local governments, or even the federal government heap taxes on top of the monthly bills that people pay for their Internet access, the $25 a month you pay to America mm-hmm. Online or Microsoft Network, or the money you pay in $40 a month to your DSL provider or your cable Internet access. The idea was to avoid letting state and locals put $20 a month on top of that in taxes, which is basically what they've done to our telephone bills mm-hmm. over the last two decades. So that's the only thing it did. It had nothing to do with sales taxes at all. And that was passed in 97. It was extended in 2001, but it had expired last month. And that means that the doors are wide open for state and local to start adding taxes to Internet access.
But isn't there something on in the works, though, to extend that?
The House of Representatives here in Washington unanimously passed a permanent extension of that ban. But something got lost in the handoff to the U.S. Senate. It got to the Senate, and a couple of senators put a hold on it. And while there were enough votes to extend the moratorium, there weren't enough votes to break a hold, because it takes 60 votes out of the 100 senators to break a hold, and they didn't have enough to do that. I do hope, though, that the Senate will be able to pass something like a non-permanent moratorium when we come back in to Congress next month, January
the
20th.
So the House passed a permanent moratorium, and the Senate just didn't like the permanent aspect of it, I guess.
But, you know, in trying to deal with those who objected to it and had the hold, it really wasn't clear what they wanted. They took a look at one that was only 3 years, and that wasn't good enough. They took a look at changing the language, and that wasn't good enough. There could be some politics at work here, Jim, that stand in the way of getting that through. But we may need people to weigh in and let their senators know that it's vital that we not see our Internet access bills go up another $20 a month in the order of a couple of $100 a year. I think for people on the lower end of what's called the digital divide, that could be the difference between getting online or not getting online.
Yeah. Well said,
70% of the 70% of the low-income households in America are not online at all.
Still not online. We need to get those people involved. Thank you, Steve, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Jim, enjoy the holidays.
You too. Thanks for coming, being on today, and we'll see you next time. Steve Del Bianco, ladies and gentlemen, with the Association for Competitive Technology. Don't forget, that's actonline.org. I recommend that site to you. Quick, got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.